Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. This morning, we are pleased to welcome award-winning novelist and poet Linda Lagarde Grover to our airwaves as our guest on Minnesota Reads. She's also a professor of American Indian Studies here at UMD and a member of the Boys Fort Band of Ojibwe. Linda, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well today. I'm so pleased to be on here.
You know, we had a conversation that I thought was fascinating about a year ago with Hyde Erdrich. Obviously, this is a perspective that I certainly would, something I certainly would have missed. She was in some kind of a social media forum, something, and she realized that the people that were all commenting on the thread were attributing poetry to a bunch of people who were not even native. You know, this is, you know, so-and-so, a native, wrote this beautiful native poetry, and the author of the poet was not native. And it seemed as though for most non-native people on the thread, no one had written any poetry since maybe Black Elk. And she was just kind of horrified that the air quotes dominant culture did not seem to realize that there were so many wonderful native poets alive and well and practicing, and that native poetry is vibrant and very much alive. So I was thrilled and started making mental notes when I heard that Joy Harjo had been named the poet laureate a week or so ago. She's a member of the Muscogee Nation. And I'm really interested in your viewpoint about all of the different, I don't know, glass ceilings perhaps that are being broken. She's the first Native poet to be named Poet Laureate, if I'm recollecting correctly.
Yes, she is the first. And, you know, it's, I think the way she put it is that it's a great honor for poetry, I think, is it's a great honoring for Native people in this country, she said. And so I met Joy Harjo when she was here in Duluth several years ago. She was in the Spirit Lake Poetry Series and got to spend some time with her and enjoyed that so much. She recognizes that Native people are poetry in our speech and in our way of looking at the whole universe here, and she is not I don't think she separates poetry from living and breathing. Certainly it's integrated into her music and into her speech and in her way of just, I think, moving and interacting with other people.
She sounds like she would be a very accessible person to spend some time with, as though she wouldn't, from what you're saying, as though she's not necessarily the kind of person to hide behind, packaged by her publicity people, answers to questions and that sort of thing.
Oh no, she's genuine, certainly, and she's very encouraging of other people in their expression of their own views of the world too. I mean, she certainly was with me.
I'm curious. It's so difficult. I've talked with a number of people who've talked about the difficulty of being forced or nudged into a place where they feel that as a member of an underrepresented group, they have to speak for everybody. Until there are more Native poet laureates, does Joy Harjo kind of occupy that spot now, where it, to a certain extent, she's in a position where she's got to kind of speak for or represent all Native people? And what kinds of repercussions could that have? What would that be like?
Well, certainly outside of Indian country, there are plenty of people who then will make that assumption that she speaks for all Indians and she is all Indians. But she is a true Native person, a Native woman, and she would never, I think she would never let that claim or that, I don't think she'd let that define her as a poet. She is her own person. She feels, I believe in the way that she's expressed herself, that the, you know, how she said the honor is to all Native people, but she would not say, and I'm the one.
Right, right. It would seem that that might add an additional burden. I mean, in addition to being the poet laureate, and so I can't imagine the kind of pressure that would put on you in terms of everything that you write for the next year, or whatever the length of term is for poet laureate. But I suppose that, again, until Native poet laureates become commonplace, there is going to be additional pressure on her in terms of what does she say when she gives interviews, and how does she behave when she's out going to events, that kind of thing. How do you think folks need to balance that?
I think that she has done this for some time, and although she could be seen outside of Indian country as the poet, I don't think she let that define her. And I hadn't thought about that till you mentioned it, Lisa, but I do think that her Joy's way of handling an audience, because certainly when she was up here, almost everybody in the audience who came to see her was non-Native, and she just purely and simply just spoke about how she viewed things, what her view was. She handled the audience very, very well, and so I think she'll handle the nation that well when we're talking about, when she's talking about her poetry. She will use this as an opportunity not only for her own poetry and her own expression, but she will use this as an opportunity for the betterment of all Native people. As a Native woman, she understands what our place in the world is, and what our opportunities and gifts are, what we have here in the world, all the blessings. She's a very, you know, I guess I would use the word spiritual, though it's used so much, but certainly that is at the heart of everything that she writes. So I think that's what she will. I think that's what she will do as poet laureate here. It's a wonderful thing. You know, it's a great thing for Joy Harjo and a great thing for a poetry in America. But it's great far beyond Native people.
Well, it's a wonderful thing to think about little girls, either little Native girls or little girls, period, who say, I can grow up to be poet laureate.
Oh, and, my goodness.
And yeah. Have, you know, another role model, you know, especially for Native girls to say, hey, here's somebody who looks like me, who is this amazing thing, or for any little girl. Here is a girl, a grown-up, but a woman just like me, and that, you know, here's a role model for me. Here's a pattern for
goodness.
Me. I can do this.
That is right and fitting, and it makes me think of her her book For a Girl Becoming, which is, you know, written for young girls. It's a sort of a poetic book that's heavily illustrated and talks about all the good things that I hope that you will be as you grow into womanhood.
Oh, yes. How wonderful.
Yes, I'm glad you said that.
How wonderful. Linda, you've got, when I contacted you about this interview, you made it sound like you had an entire library of Joy Harjo books, and that, oh, yes, of course, you'd be able to find something to read. So you did locate something to read for us this morning. Will you tell us a little bit about it, and then please share some of Joy's poetry?
I'm going to read her Eagle poem. It is about the eagle, but it is about the eagle as another spiritual being, and it describes the nature. It describes the environment around the eagle, and describes it is speaking to the eagle and what the eagle really is. And so, would you like me to read it?
Yes, I would love that.
Okay, I'm going to read it right now, and it's her Eagle poem. I don't read as well as Joy Harjo, but I will do my best to honor the poem. To pray you open your whole self to sky, to earth, to sun, to moon, to one whole voice that is you, and know there is more that you can't see, can't hear, can't know, except in moments steadily growing and in languages that aren't always sound, but other circles of motion. Like eagle that Sunday morning over Salt River, circled in blue sky, in wind swept our hearts clean with sacred wings. We see you, see ourselves, and know that we must take the utmost care and kindness in all things. Breathe in, knowing we are made of all this, and breathe, knowing we are truly blessed because we were born and die soon within a true circle of motion. Like eagle rounding out the morning inside us, we pray that it will be done in beauty, in beauty.
Oh, that is indeed a poem written in beauty. Linda Lagarde Grover, thank you so very much for joining us this morning. What a treat to have you as our guest today.
Thank you so much, Lisa.
Linda Lagarde Grover is an award-winning novelist and poet, also a professor of American Indian Studies here at UMD and a member of the Boys Fort Band of Ojibwe. And she shared her thoughts with us this morning on Joy Harjo's being named a poet laureate just a week or so ago, the first Native American poet laureate to hold that honor. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.